Welcome to Beta Finch, your AI-powered earnings breakdown. Today, we're digging into Johnson & Johnson's second quarter 2026 results, and Jordan, there's a lot to unpack here.
There really is. But first, the fine print. This podcast is AI-generated content for educational and entertainment purposes only. Nothing we discuss should be considered investment advice. Always do your own research and consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions.
Right, so let's get into it. J&J posted $25.3 billion in quarterly sales, up 5.6% operationally. That doesn't sound huge until you realize they absorbed a 460 basis point headwind from Stelara losing patent protection to biosimilars.
Yeah. Strip out Stelara, and the rest of the business grew double digits. That's the real story. Net earnings came in at $5.5 billion, diluted EPS of $2.27. And on adjusted basis, EPS was $2.90, up nearly 5% year over year. And here's the kicker. They raised full-year guidance. Operational sales growth now expected at 6.5% to 7.1%, and adjusted EPS guidance moved up to $11.50 to $11.65.
They're also closing in on a milestone, more than $100 billion in annual revenue for the first time in the company's 140-year history.
Which is wild to say out loud. This is a company with 28 different products or platforms, each doing over $1 billion a year. That's not a one-hit wonder portfolio. That's just breadth everywhere.
Let's talk oncology, because that's really where J&J flexed this quarter. Darzalex, their multiple myeloma drug, did over $4 billion, up almost 18%. But the newer combo therapies are what caught my eye. Carvykti up 47.7%, Tecvayli up 56%, Talvi up 62.6%.
Those growth rates on top of an already dominant multiple myeloma franchise are pretty remarkable. And they're not resting. New data showed the Talvi-Darzalex combo keeping over 80% of patients progression-free at 2 years, with overall survival up to 89%. That's the kind of data that extends a franchise's life for years.
Then there's the newer launches, Icotide in psoriasis, Inlexzo in bladder cancer, Rybrevant in lung, and now head and neck cancer. Icotide in particular is getting a lot of attention. Over 11,000 patients started therapy, 6,000 unique prescribers, and more than half of commercial payers already covering it within 90 days.
What's interesting is how they're positioning it alongside Tremfya, which, by the way, had a monster quarter, 71% growth, its first $2 billion quarter. Instead of cannibalizing each other, management's framing Icotide as the go-to first systemic treatment and Tremfya as the first-choice biologic, especially for patients trending towards psoriatic arthritis. It's a two-pronged attack on the same disease area.
Now, MedTech was the softer spot this quarter. Only 3.6% growth. Cardiovascular was the drag, mainly Abiomed's heart pump business.
Right. And this is worth unpacking because it wasn't a demand problem. A neutral clinical trial out of the UK made physicians more cautious about patient selection for Impella devices, so usage slowed. Management was pretty direct about it. They called it a behavioral issue, not structural. They're leaning on their own much larger evidence base. Over 40,000 patients studied versus the UK trial's 300, while they wait for their own PROTECT IV trial data, which won't read out until 2027.
Meanwhile, three of MedTech's four businesses, surgery, vision, and orthopedics, actually accelerated and beat expectations. So it's really one segment, heart recovery, dragging on an otherwise solid MedTech story.
And there's real excitement building around the robotics pipeline. The Ottava surgical robot and Monar for urology are both awaiting approval, with management sounding confident about launching both this year.
On the capital allocation side, CFO Joe Wolk highlighted they're moving ahead with the Firefly Bio acquisition, adding a platform targeting KRAS-driven solid tumors, expected to close in third quarter. That's on top of the earlier Halda Therapeutics deal.
They were clear that acquisitions are an enabler, not a requirement. This isn't a company that needs to buy growth. Free cash flow also bounced back nicely after a light first quarter, now tracking toward almost $21 billion for the year.
One other thread worth flagging for listeners, the DePuy Synthes Orthopedic separation is still on track for mid-2027, and they'll share more details at their December 8th Enterprise Investor Review.
So stepping back, what does this all mean going forward? The bear case here has really been Stelara's patent cliff and, more recently, worries about medtech procedure volumes given some cautious commentary from hospital operators. But management pushed back hard on that. They said they're not seeing a broad-based slowdown, and even the ACA subsidy expiration concerns haven't shown up in their data yet.
The bull case is the pipeline depth, Icotide, Inlexo, Tremfya in IBD, the CAR-T and bispecific portfolio in myeloma, plus robotics on the medtech side. Management's line of sight to double-digit growth by the end of the decade doesn't look like empty talk when you see this many double-digit growers across therapeutic areas.
And that's a good place to wrap up. But first, everything discussed is AI-generated analysis for educational purposes. Past performance doesn't guarantee future results. Please do your own due diligence.
With guidance raised and momentum building into the back half of the year, J&J is telling a growth story with a lot of moving parts working in their favor, though obviously the A-Biomed situation and medtech procedure trends are worth watching next quarter.
Definitely one to keep on a radar. That's it for this episode of Beta Finch. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.